Welcome to The Sharing Culture, the show that talks about sharing, who does it, why, the history, and a whole lot in between. I am your host and executive director of Equitable Giving Circle, AJ McCrary. And today we are talking about sharing with some littles from our community. We have invited some kids to come in and talk about sharing. We're also going to be reading a book called Bone Soup. It is a play on stone soup. Since it is October, we wanted to have a spooky element to our episode today. This is our book recommendation. We typically don't read it, but today it is a special treat. I will have a sharing activity at the end, so stay tuned and enjoy this episode with hopefully some advice from littles from our community. Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is Bone Soup by Cambria Evans. I will describe the photos for you, or the pictures for everybody. This is Bone Soup, and on the cover there is a skeleton eating an eyeball from a spoon out of a big cauldron. All right, here we go. Bone Soup. Being nothing more than skin and bone, Finnegan had to live by his wits. He had no family or house to haunt, but he was known across the land for having a ravenous appetite. Everyone knew wherever Finnegan went, he always brought his eating stool, his eating spoon, and his giant eating mouth. And this is a picture of Finnegan with his eating mouth, his eating stool, and his eating spoon. And he has a friendly smile on his face. Finnegan is a skeleton. And this is, again, a book about bone soup and ghouls and witches and all of that fun, spooky folks. One Halloween, Finnegan travels took him through a barren land. What a lovely place, he thought. I'm sure I can find a Halloween feast here. But as Finnegan grew closer to town, a witch passed by. Happy Halloween night, he said. Do you know where the feast is? And the witch took one look at Finnegan and quickly flew away. And there is a photo or a picture of Finnegan looking at the witch, and the witch is flying away, leaving dust in his face. Back in town, the witch told the beast, and the beast told the zombies told the mummy, and before you knew it, the entire town was talking about the impending arrival of Finnegan the Eater. They made a photo, a sign saying, warning, beware, the eater, and there is a picture of the witch telling the other folks that Finnegan is on his way. And we've got a zombie and a mummy and a monster. The next page. The townspeople are all together and they're saying, here comes Finnegan. We don't need a big mouth like that. We have barely enough for ourselves. I've heard he's worse than the plague of locusts. Who's Finnegan? Says one tiny voice. And the folks are all gathered around looking terrified, as if Finnegan was going to eat them out of house and home. In a panic, the witch booby-trapped her jars of eyeballs. The beast locked his bat wings in a cupboard. The zombies put their frog legs in a cellar. The mummy and the other town's creatures hid all that they had to eat. And this photo is of everyone hiding all of their food so that Finnegan cannot eat. Which is pretty rude. When poor hungry Finnegan came to town, he was surprised that it looked empty, but even more surprised that there was no feast. And there is a photo of Finnegan just looking at a desolate, empty town and just eyes peering out from the windows. They've turned off all the lights. So Finnegan knocked on the witch's door first. Could you spare a bit of food? He called out. I have nothing for you, the witch shrieked. Next, Finnegan tried the beast store. Could you spare some wormy cheese and bread for a simple traveler, he asked. A simple traveler, the beast said. I know who you are. I have just enough for myself and none to spare. Be gone. At the third door, Finnegan had barely opened his mouth when the zombie all yelled, go away. We've no food for you. At the mummy's door, the answer was the same. And this is a photo of all of these doors that are not being willing to share with Finnegan. And so Finnegan went through the whole town knocking on doors and windows, but not a body or soul had any food for Finnegan. And there is just a picture of Finnegan saying, hello, could you spare anyone home? looking a little confused and then looking a little mysterious. Undaunted, Finnegan collected wood from the forest and built a fire in the middle of the town square. He then filled the town's largest cauldron with water and set it to boil. So the last little bit of this photo is Finnegan lighting a fire so that he can boil water in this cauldron. After waiting a time, Finnegan ceremoniously opened his cloak. He took out a magnificent piece of bone, so old that the edges were dry and splintered, and with a toothy grin, he dropped it right into the cauldron. Finnegan stirred the mixture, singing, "Bone soup is what I make. A magic bone is all it takes. Boil it long and add some spice. Bone soup tastes, oh, so very nice." And here is a picture of Finnegan stirring this cauldron. And in the background, there are eyes and shadows of people being kind of curious what is happening as Finnegan stirs this bone soup. One by one, the town's creatures open their doors and walk towards Finnegan and his fire. "What are you singing about? What are you boiling? What a dry old bone. You can't make soup out of that. Any ghoul knows as well." Finnegan smiled. "Well, then I must not be a ghoul, for I am making such a soup." The little werewolf crouched at Finnegan's side. "I've never heard of bone soup before, but I think I'd like it. In some places I've traveled, bone soup is considered a delicacy," Finnegan explained. "Besides, this is no ordinary bone. It is magic." And so again, everyone is kind of peering around to see what's happening at this cauldron that Finnegan is brewing. He tasted the broth again inside. "If only there was some stewed eyeballs. With eyeballs, the soup would be very tasty." The little werewolf tugged at Finnegan's cloak. "The witch has jars of those. I know she does." All the villagers stared at the witch, and her face turned an even brighter shade of green. Yes, I do," she stammered, "but they're imported." The villagers stared at the witch until she finally fetched some from her stash. The eyeballs were a fabulous addition to the soup, but soon Finnegan looked wistful. And so the picture is of the witch looking very embarrassed. And then the other picture is some stewed eyeballs in a jar. They kind of look like olives. "If only this had some bat wings, could you just imagine what flavor they would add?" The little werewolf tugged at Finnegan again. "The beast had a cupboard full of those. I saw them myself." Embarrassed, the beast fetched an entire box of bat wings. The wings were added, and just as Finnegan had said, their flavor was wonderful. So this is a picture of the beast getting the bat wings, and it is the delicious bat wing. Finnegan continued to stir the soup, but he looked longingly in the cauldron. "Now, if only we had frog legs, the soup would be fit for a king." The little werewolf tugged once more on Finnegan's cloak. "The zombie has a cellar full of those. Just ask them." Before Finnegan could ask, the zombie's children had fetched all the frog legs they could carry. And there is a picture of the children carrying frog legs. Piles, heaped boxes of frog legs. The frog legs were stirred into the broth, and soon the cauldron was bubbling with spider eggs, dried mouse droppings, toenail clippings, and dandelions. Might be the only ingredient I would be excited about. With a final dusting of slime and sludge, the soup was declared ready, and there's a big picture of all these unique ingredients that the town's creatures are enjoying. "Of course, the soup is wonderful alone," said Finnegan, "but it takes only wormy cheese bread and company to make it a true Halloween feast. Go bring your cheese, bread, and bowl so we can share the bone soup together." And there is a picture of Finnegan on his stool and with his spoon smiling. And the next picture is with the green witch. And she says, "What a fabulous soup." And the monster is saying, "Such good flavor." And the zombies say, "Truly fit for a king." And the mummy says, "To think it was all made from a magic bone." And so it was that Finnegan got his Halloween feast after all. And there's a big picture of Finnegan's giant mouth eating that spoon with the eyeball in it and all the town's creatures dancing behind him. With a final wave to the werewolf, Finnegan quickly left with his eating stool, his eating spoon, and his gigantic smiling mouth. And this book is, again, Bone Soup by Cambria Evans. This book, Bone Soup, is a familiar story to me because it's also called Stone Soup, which is one of my personal childhood favorite story. It's also called Cactus Soup. It's also called Quill Soup. It's also called Borscht Soup. It's also a very similar story to the story where Jesus fed the people with all of the loaves and the fishes. So we tell this story because it is a reminder that we are coming together to do something by ourselves. It's really hard, right? Creating a Halloween feast all by yourself is a lot of work, but and very expensive. let's be honest about inflation these days. But having a Halloween feast as a larger community where everybody is bringing one or two ingredients and sharing, it becomes manageable, and it's something that tastes better because it's filled with love and care from everybody that tapped in and participated. This is one of the oldest stories around, and you can find this story literally in every corner of the world, the global story. And again, it's also the story that is in our Bible, not my Bible, but the Bible. And that's a very known story. And I want to make that connection because it's important to understand and see that these stories are global stories and things that is from a larger collective was intentional, that was passed down, that we all know and understand that we're supposed to work together and share together. So I hope you enjoyed our story time. I know that's a little unconventional on a podcast. I appreciate you guys all experimenting with us on this beautiful project. And up next, we will have some interviews with some delightful small people from our community. Stay tuned. Welcome, welcome, Khalil. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. How old are you?
10.
10. All right. So we're just going to talk a little bit about sharing really fast. Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
All right. What is your favorite thing that anybody has shared with you?
Oh, that's tough. I think it is my brother's phone.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does your brother share his phone with you regularly?
Nah.
Oh, so it's kind of a treat.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. What do you like to share?
I love to share love.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. What are ways that you do that?
By giving somebody a hug or complimenting them.
That's beautiful. Do you try to do that all the time?
Yeah.
Yay. We love to see it. My next question is for you. What can you tell us about sharing? Just like when that word comes up, what does it make you think of?
It makes me think of caring, mm-hmm. loving, just in the moment.
Ooh, it's an in the moment activity. I like that. Ooh, thank you for that. What do you think something that adults or grownups need to know or thinking more about sharing? Like what is something that us grownups need to get it together? Give us some advice on sharing.
Dang. My household, we just like clean a lot. So need one day breaks.
Okay. So, like, we as grownups need to have a better balance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that we need to, like, shift how we engage with sharing?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I like that. Is there anything else that you think that we should know or think about or that you want to, like, regarding the topic of sharing, you want to share with us?
Well, I share with my sister.
Is that hard or easy?
It's pretty hard, though.
Why is it hard?
We don't get along that well. But
that sometimes happens with siblings.
Yesterday at the Dollar Tree, I gave her $1, so
you shared some of your money.
Yeah.
Yep. Sounds like you actively engage with sharing all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think other people should try to be more intentional about sharing?
Definitely.
Yeah. Even if it's hard?
Mm-hmm. That brings our community stronger.
Ooh, say that again.
That brings our community stronger.
Yeah. Do you have any tips? Like, because sharing sometimes is hard with mm-hmm. your sister. So how do you stretch yourself to be more intentional with sharing with her?
Just calm expression, mm-hmm. calm words. You should be all good to go.
This should be part of like just how we function in all the ways.
Yeah.
Do you think if you practice sharing now, like as you get older, you'll get better at it?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like anything. It's a practice.
You can improve on anything.
Ooh. Oh, that's some tea right there. All right. We can improve on our sharing. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming and hanging out with us. And
I appreciate it for you having me here.
Yeah. You having a good time at the Wiggle Room?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're real grateful that they let us use their space and are supporting our podcast here, The Sharing Culture. All right. Thank you, young sir. I will let you go play some more in the Wiggle Room.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your advice. Welcome. Welcome. All right. So we have Miss Naya here. Naya, how old are you?
7.
7. That's my favorite number. Welcome. All right, Miss Naya, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about sharing. I promise it's going to be fun. What can you tell us about sharing?
Sharing with other people, you like give people stuff and they don't have it, and then you fight over it, and then someone has the same thing, they give it to them, so be fair. If they didn't have another thing, so they gave it to another person.
Okay. So sharing, like some people have stuff and it's important to share with the folks that don't have stuff. Mm. Is that always easy? No. Yeah. What do you like about sharing the most?
I don't know.
You don't know? That's yeah. Okay. What do you share the most?
My snacks.
Oh, snack. Okay. Like with your friends or your sister?
Well, I usually just share it. If I don't eat it, I would just give to them. I just don't, if I don't like something, I'll just give it to someone.
Okay.
I'll be like, oh, yeah, I like those.
Yeah. Okay. What is one of the coolest things somebody shared with you?
A donut.
A donut. Yeah. What kind of donut was it?
A bubblegum one.
Ooh.
I had bubblegum in the middle of the donut and pink frosting.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Did it have sprinkles? Oh, okay. All right. So you bring up some really important a really important thing about sharing food. And, you know, we do a lot of sharing food at EGC. It's very important. Do you think that more people should be thoughtful about sharing things like basic needs like food?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of advice do you think grownups should take regarding sharing?
Like if there's a homeless people and we pass by it, and then we had money, but if someone with my mom, a different mom, if he didn't give someone the money, I would be very sad. And we should be giving the homeless people money because they need it to buy houses and food.
Yeah. So those of us that have resources really need to be sharing, like, in the moment. Yeah. And that's probably something we should all be doing, like, all the time, intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to send this to the lots of other community organizing leaders. Just a quick reminder that we got to be, like, really intentional. This is, like, sharing should be something that everyone's, like, thinking about, like, first thing in the morning. Okay. Is there anything else about sharing that you think that we should talk about or know or even just think about later on in the day?
No.
It's pretty, is sharing a pretty, like, easy concept to get? Yeah?
Pretty much.
Do you think you're good at sharing? Yeah. Would you describe yourself as an expert sharer? Ooh, I like that. That's how I describe myself too. All right. Well, that is our last question, Ms. Naya. Thank you for sharing some of your thoughts with us today.
Sure.
Thanks for coming and hanging out with us and playing. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, Ms. Bella.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. How old are you?
Six.
Six. Ooh, that's a big number. How does it feel to be six?
Good.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good. I'm curious, at the big old age of six, what can you tell us about sharing?
If you share, you can make a big community.
Okay. I like that. All right. So it's important for us to have community that we're sharing. These things go hand in hand. Okay, good. I like it. What do you like to share the most? What is your favorite thing to share?
My toys.
Your toys? Okay. Do you share those with your brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah? Maybe your friends?
Yeah.
That's lovely. Is it hard to share?
No.
No? It comes natural?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the coolest or most exciting thing that anyone shared with you?
The way, toy blocks.
Toy blocks? Did you build something really tall or really wide?
Yeah.
Did you knock it down? What was the best part, the building or the knocking it down?
The knocking it down.
I like that chaos. Do you have any advice for grown-ups or other kids about sharing, like things that we should be thinking about or know?
No.
No? Nothing?
Yeah.
That's okay. Is there anything that you want to add about sharing?
Yeah.
What would that be?
Not even about sharing is you can share stuff and you might actually get to have somebody else's toy because you let them have yours.
Oh, so sharing's kind of like it goes back and forth?
Yeah. And
to your point of community, when we share back and forth, we're building that community.
Yeah.
Okay. Did anyone teach you how to share or you just like always known how to share?
I always know how to share.
Okay. Out of the mouth of babes, they came here sharing. So what we need to know as grown-ups is that we need to follow y'all's example and share, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you think the world would be a happier place if sharing was something we did intentionally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we could tell the grown-ups is like, hey, the world would be a better place if we shared. I'm going to stay with that. Thank you for your time and your advice, Miss Bella. Are you having fun playing at the Wiggle Room?
Yeah.
All right. You want to go get some more wiggles out?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Miss Ella.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How old are you?
Five.
You're five. You just had a birthday.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah? I'm going to ask you a couple questions about Sharon, okay?
Yes.
Is that cool?
Uh-huh.
What do you know about Sharon?
Oh, well, I do know that it's important.
It is important. Why is it important?
Because it's kind and helpful and also nice.
I like that. Is it something that we should all do?
Yes.
Yes. We should all share?
Yes.
What is your most favorite thing about sharing?
Well, I like when people did back, when they did my toys back to then. I feel really happy and I get to play with them again.
Oh, so you like to share and then you like the part where your stuff comes back to you?
Yes.
I feel that a lot. That definitely resonates with me. What do you like to share the most with other people?
Oh, well, I do like to sell my lion toys and also my little dog toys. Mm-hmm. But I never sell my tarantula toy. There's a multi-tool tarantula toy. Yeah, I got from your little...
Is that your favorite toy?
Yes, but I sell it with like Davian.
Oh, like with your sister?
Yeah, but I never put it to it might tell people who are like afraid of it.
Oh, okay. I
like
see.
Dovey,
is like, it kind of scary?
Well, not for me, but for Dovey, it's to like, Dovey, to the before Dovey was like, okay, I'm just heading in my room. So she closed it all.
Gotcha, gotcha. But you like to share some of your toys with other folks.
Yeah.
The ones that won't scare them.
Yeah, but sometimes when I sell, I feel a little mad at. Because I feel like you're not doing a bad bite, but you do eventually.
Yeah. So sometimes sharing brings up different feelings for you. Sometimes good, sometimes a little like anxiety maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So like that's really important that you brought up that sharing brings up physical feelings for us. So what is the coolest or most exciting thing anyone has shared with you?
Well, what do you mean about that?
Like, has your sister or a friend or mom or somebody else shared something really cool with you? Like, one of my really good friends, she always shares music with me. That's one of my favorite things. And so that's just something that I really enjoy that somebody else shared with me.
Oh, well, I do like, well... I can't really handle playing yet. I can't really hear the little twitchy part for me. So
that's a cool. That's totally understandable. do you think there's anything that grown-ups should know about sharing or think about?
So. I do say it will, and I also think that they should know something if they don't know who, like, what sharing even is.
So if they don't know, they need to know.
Yes.
Okay. Is sharing something we should be practicing a lot?
Yes.
Yeah. I loved how your face just lit up right there. All of your little faces today as you guys talk about sharing, just a little beacons of light and hope. Do you think that it's easier for grown-ups or kids to share?
Well, I think it's just kind of like easier for kids to like get kind of like a ramble a lot of more stuff, more than grown-up kind of forget some stuff.
They forget. So did you always know how to share?
Yes.
Since like your whole memory?
Yes.
So what you're saying is you got here knowing how to share. And then over time, as grownups, forget how to share. Ooh, snaps. the tea. You know, this is the second little that has let us know that they got here, and sharing is innately part of their being. And us grown-ups, we got some work to do. Is there anything else about sharing that you'd like for us to know or think about?
No.
No. You've left us with some good tea, some good nuggets to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Can we go on that train now?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you all for listening to this podcast today and hearing these interviews with these delightful little people. One of the most amazing thing about these interviews was seeing their faces light up and their expressions. I know that you all don't get to see that part of this, but know that their faces were very thoughtful and also lit up. And hopefully you can hear it in some of their voices, the way that they felt when they talked about sharing. It's important that we as older folks not only hear kids, but also remember the importance of children's innocence and what they know. It's a trend. It's not a survey, but definitely a trend that these kids are coming here understanding and knowing sharing. This is an innate part of our human nature. And it's something that we, as we get older, are moving away from and losing. And probably that is, you know, if we jumped into the weeds, that speaks to capitalism, you know, our lack of being in community and connectivity. Another thing that I hope that you heard is the importance of community that came up with multiple of these brilliant, delightful, super fun, small kids. They are understanding that, and they are putting the value points of that and bringing it up unprompted. And so that is something that we hope we can take away as grownups from hearing kids talk about sharing, that these things go hand in hand, and you put in what you get out, you know, like it's a two-way dance. So I really do hope that you all enjoyed this. You know, sharing is at the start of the day and the end of the day, a really important part of this work when we're talking about liberation, anti-racism, community, and connectivity. And sharing is truly the most boiled down basic definition of reparations, right? Sharing what was taken that was should not have been taken, but giving back those resources. And Equal Giving Circle, or as I lovingly call it, EGC, we are about economics and reparations. We give no strings attached, meaning we share intentionally so that people can just have, and we don't expect anything back. And we expect those that share with us to also share in that way. So I hope that this has been informative and thoughtful. And our book recommendation today is get you a copy of Stone Soup or Cactus Soup or Quill Soup or Bone Soup. Hope you loved our spooky story with the ghouls and the townspeople, the town's creatures. And your homework today, as I do hope that everyone that's listening is enjoying this homework and participating in it, is we want you to connect with your intimate community, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, your group chat, and ask folks about their sharing relationship. Who are they sharing with? What does their sharing culture look like in their own individual for you as well? So talk about it. You can use the questions that we've been doing. What do you share the most? What is the best thing someone shared with you? What do you like to share? How is it making you feel? And really explore that and see what other questions come up. As always, tap into the other work that Equal Giving Circle is doing. We have some exciting community events. I think we're finally about to like hit this close up so I can actually promote two of our upcoming events. We've got a community meetup on November 3rd and then a weatherization workshop on November 4th. So check out our website, equalgivingcircle.org. Also, make a donation. Make a donation to EGC. Fans don't feed people, but money does. So please tap in as a donor, one time or many, ongoing. Also, let's support the numbers who has lovingly supported this podcast and is producing this work for us. We appreciate them. And also shout out to the Wiggle Room. We've had a great time here. They have taken great care of us. The kids have had an extraordinary fun time. They've got libations and snacks for the libations for the grownups. They do have juice and water and like kid stuff. And they've got snacks and stuff. So definitely if you've got littles, check out the Wiggle Room on 42nd. And again, thanks for listening and thanks for learning with us. We appreciate you and we look forward to sharing with you in the future.